Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your podcast. Of course, Mike, welcome to your podcast as well.
Good morning, Todd, and it's morning where you're at and less morning here, but very good. Glad to be back again for another your podcast.
You know, when I saw your note last night with the links to the show notes for today, I was like, we just did one of these. And I was like, yeah, I've been so busy. Time is just like, whew, it's flying. And I think a lot of podcasters probably run into, you know, time issues all the time. And I probably should go without noting that, you know, even the best of us miss an episode every once in a while. And, you know, I took a little time off from my show over the past week. But I think it's important when you do that you let your audience know that you're going to be out. And of course, if you're a new podcaster, you can't take a break. But if you've been podcasting a couple of years, you should, you know, should always try to take some time to recharge the batteries once in a while. But anyway, that's just my tip of the day.
Yeah. No, what happens, you know, in my case, I just warn them ahead of time. I said, I don't really do a schedule here, you know, and that's not necessarily the best way to do it. But, you know, on my personal show, you know, it happens when it happens. I don't try to do a schedule anymore because I can never keep it. But with this right one, we've been pretty consistent.
Yes, we have, and hopefully we will continue to be so. Well, there's a little bit of news in the space, and one thing that you know we're always looking for is cool things that actually even help Blueberry a little bit. But the folks at Blue have introduced a Yeti broadcast microphone, which a lot of folks use, bundled with Hindenburg Journalist software. And, you know, we've got a relationship with Hindenburg. Why don't you tell them a little bit about that, Mike?
Yeah, well, if you're using Hindenburg Journalist software, I think both levels, built right into it is Blueberry Upload. So if you are a Blueberry hosting customer and you want to do it that way, you log into your Blueberry account right from Hindenburg and hit upload, and then there's your file sitting on the server ready to go when you ready to make your blog post. So it kind of saves you one step.
So in there, and I haven't used their software, and I don't know if you have either, but does it just, when you do that once the MP3 is created, or do you publish to and it converts and uploads? Do you know how it actually processes?
Yeah, I have a copy of Hindenburg. I have not tried that process. I believe you generate the MP3 and then it just uploads, you know, if you set it to do that. I think Hindenburg is similar to other audio editors like Audacity and Audition and Pro Tools and that kind of thing. It's that sort of software. They have some unique features, but you know, it's sort of built right in. And what's nice about that is, you know, that just saves you another step, and we're all about saving steps. Now, this Blue Yeti broadcaster, I think it's another version of the Yeti. The Yeti is a condenser, USB condenser microphone. And, you know, the kind of the standard advice a lot of podcast gurus will tell you is to not use a condenser mic, but that's not necessarily true.
I've been using one from the beginning, and I'm using one right now.
Exactly. You know, it's all about the way you get your studio set up. If you've got a really quiet studio and you're using a noise gate, and, you know, there's a few other things, you can do noise gating in Hindenburg or in other software, so, you know, it doesn't have to be a piece of hardware. But, you know, as long as you know what you're doing, a condenser will work. The problem a lot of people have with condensers is they set the gain up too high, they get too far away from it. A lot of times somebody will set a condenser in the middle of the table and have four or five people on it, and that just makes for lousy audio, and that's what kind of gives the Yeti a bad name, because a lot of people don't use it correctly. But there are several podcasters out there that use those successfully, and everything sounds good. So your mileage may vary, but it's an interesting product.
Yes, it is. But anyway, check that out. If you're a Hindenburg user and you're a Blueberry hosting customer, definitely get that configuration set up so you can save yourself a step. I'm all about saving time.
Oh,
so
definitely.
So definitely have to look into that. Hey, one thing that we noticed when we were at Podcast Movement was the Google team was there. And we know that they're looking at podcasting heavily. But Google, over the past couple of days, bought a podcasting app. But I think what they really bought, Mike, was a podcast app development team. They acquired the podcast app 60DB, which, to be frank, never really kind of even made it off the, you know, off the radar.
Yeah, so, I never even heard of it before this, but Google bought that and they're closing it down November 10th. So it's obvious that they bought the team.
Yeah, so they bought a team, a podcast app development team. So that's kind of, and well, maybe they got the devs on the cheap or something, but with them shutting down the app, that's a pretty telltale sign that they're not planning at least to continue the app. I have another person coming on another Skype call trying to call me on the other computer. Let me make myself do not disturb. Okay, there we go. Next thing up, let's talk a little bit about file names. And, oh boy, Mike, we've seen some doozies lately, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. It's I don't know where people are getting the idea that the file name itself is an SEO tool. And I think that's what they're doing. But I've seen file names that were, 300 characters. I mean, just some ridiculous thing. And they got spaces and all kinds of stuff. And I just kind of wanted to go over, the proper way to name an MP3. And then I'll kind of go over how I do it normally. And I'm sure you have a different system and whatever system works for you. But first thing to know about file names is no spaces. No special characters other than underscores or dashes. And, try to make them reasonably short. The thing is, organizing them on your hard drive, it should be the main reason to make them easy. I don't know. How do you normally name your files, Todd, on your shows?
Well, your podcast is YP. Let's just say Geek News Central.
Okay.
It's GNC-2017-10-12.mp3. That's how that's the way I always did it. And I've done all my shows, the new media show, NMS-2017-10-12. So I really date them so that I have basically easy way to organize them by year on a hard drive. And, it's easy to find the specific file because it's dated at the date of the release of the show. So that's how I personally do it.
Right. And I do sort of a modified version of that. I don't do the date. I do a serial number or the episode number. So like on my show, Podcast Help Desk, it's PhD 019 or 099 or 100, whatever the episode number is, and that's it. I want them short and sweet. But for your podcast here, we normally date them, although I think I did it my way the last episode, but that's all right. It's easy enough to keep organized when you have them short and sweet. And the thing is different, especially with our system, with the stats. Our stat system is keyed on that file name. And what happens when you have spaces in there is different applications will put something in that space. Now, if it's a Linux-based, it'll put a weird symbols in there. Some other places put plus signs in there. So what'll happen is you'll have two or three entries for that same episode because whatever gets reported to the stat server is what we record.
Right.
So that can cause issues with the stats not having, just one line for each episode. You'll have two or three lines depending on how other applications, interpret your spaces and special characters. I had one the other day where the guy had periods in the actual file name. Well, once you put a period in there, some systems say, okay, that's the end of the file. Boom, you know, and and it just, you know, it's looking for an extension, not looking for some more file name.
Right.
So you really, you really have to be careful with what you put in the actual file name, the MP3 or video file name.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about title of episodes then.
Yeah,
since we're on title of file names.
Yeah, that's the same sort of thing. You know, titles of episodes can be, you know, super complicated or super easy. The thing you got to remember is on most podcast applications, you only see the first so many characters, and there's no hard and fast rule. I know in the new iOS 11 podcast app, it has pretty long file or titles that can be shown, which is good. But, you know, make sure that your file names are, or your titles of your episodes are unique, and put the most important thing towards the front of the title.
Yeah, and there is SEO considerations with the title that you put for your blog post.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know, so for example, my recent show, I put No FM Radio in iPhone. And then I put the actual episode number at the very end of it. So, but I also use the SEO features within PowerPress to get me the extra extension information added to the end of the title on every episode. So the title is really pretty important. And, you know, and just as a general comment, what you have in the top of your title, No FM Radio and iPhone 7, you should have those exact words in the first paragraph of the body of the article as well. I mean, exactly. And that's just one of those little mini SEO things. And there has to be contextual data around it, contextual information around it.
Sure.
That's how Google often will figure out how it's going to rank your article.
Right, and you know, and not only Google SEO, but there's also SEO within podcasting apps.
True,
you know,
true.
And directories. So, like an Apple, since that's the 800-pound gorilla, only thing they search on is the title of each episode, the title of your main podcast, and the author tag. And also with the author tag, they've warned us that don't stuff that with keywords. You know, you can put, you know, maybe your name and a title or something like that in there, but don't stuff it with, you know, every keyword you want to be found on.
So, Mike, we shouldn't put the Todd and Mike Your Podcast where your podcast comes first. We shouldn't put that, right?
No, not in the author tag. Now, we could put that in descriptions and stuff, but that's not searched on Apple.
Right.
Maybe searched in other things, but not in Apple particularly. And you know, and same thing with the title of your main show. Simpler is better, I think. That's just an opinion, but you know, I see so many titles now, you know, where I can't really give you an example except for they put a dash and then they put like, you know, everything they want to be known for, you know. And you know, that's not a title of a show. You know, this show here is Your Podcast, and I put on the end of that Buy Blueberry just so that it, you know, makes sense. But that's all I put. I didn't put Your Podcast, Buy Blueberry, the number one podcast about podcasting with blueberry, you know, blah, 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 in the title. That's just,
right.
It's too much. You know,
it is.
You don't want to make it look like you're trying to go for SEO. You want to make it usable for humans. And, you know, Google SEO is important, you know, on your website and you know, SEO within the podcast is important inside the directories. But you just, you know what to stuff and where to stuff it.
And we could spend an hour on this, but when you create your show, and many of you have already created your show, you know, and if you're going to help someone create a podcast in the future, you need to Google the title of the show that you're going to do before you have put anything on the internet to try and see, you know, what else is out there. For nothing more, number one, for trademark considerations. Number two, for just to see who you're going to be up against as you're building your brand and basically being able to be found within Google. So, you know, a lot of people don't use the word podcast in their name, but, you know, I still think it has value because if you have a title of a podcast that is your business tips, I bet you if you search your business tips on Google, there's millions of pages because everyone has written business tips. But if you name your podcast Your Business Tips Podcast and someone searches for Your Business Tips Podcast, you're going to be found much faster. But anyway, just you know, take that into consideration when you're naming your podcast.
Yeah, and so, another thing you want to think about is domain names. You know, you want to you know make sure that you can get a domain name that is reasonably close to your podcast title.
Yeah, Geek News Central Podcast, geeknewscentral.com.
Right. You know, it's, so, and that you know that helps too. You know, you don't want to do you know a podcast. You know, pick out the perfect podcast name and then find out every iteration of that domain has been taken. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, and if you just add the word podcast into the domain, you know that could get you that domain. But you know, you just want to be careful with that because you don't want to, you know, say, you know, go to my podcast and or you know, search for it in Google and come up with you know 75 other things ahead of you in the search.
Right. Right.
You know.
So anyway, I think just, you know, just as a, you know, be careful on your media file names and pay attention to the title of your episodes. And, you know, that really will help you a lot. And use those PowerPress SEO tools to basically help yourself being found within the directories when someone does go and look for a show on the directory. Now, again, my commentary has always been that, you know, discoverability of your show is with you and sharing your information, sharing with people that you know in your community and getting the word out. People subscribe via word of mouth and podcast, not necessarily what they find in the Apple Podcast directory.
Right. Definitely.
Okay. So support-wise, some things that you've noticed.
Yeah.
You've got a comment here about putting some sort of contact info in your podcast and in your show notes. It's kind of a what's the story here?
Well, a lot of times people don't have any way to contact, you know, any way for your listeners to contact you inside the actual show. Being at support here at Blueberry, I get every once in a while a contact ticket for somebody that is obviously wanting to get a hold of the show producer. They're not actually wanting support from Blueberry, but they don't have any other way to contact anybody, and they know the show's on Blueberry. So they come to me and say, hey, you know, tell so-and-so whatever. Well, if you have, like in this case, we always say, you know, email yourpodcast@blueberry.com to make any comments about the show. And we put that within the show, usually at the end. And that way, you know, people listening know that, okay, you don't go to the contact form at Blueberry. Of course, that would work in this case. But, you know, in most cases, in most podcasts, you're not, you know, going to their host is not going to get you in contact with the producer of that show. And also in your show notes, because, you know, who knows, somebody's looking at, you know, your show in whatever app, and if they see an email address there or, you know, at least some way to contact you in that, in those notes, they, you know, they'll bypass, you know, going through a bunch of hoops to get a hold of you. Because, you know, I don't know all the producers of the shows on our system. So
340,000 shows, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, how am I supposed to know, you know, how to get a hold of these people for you? So, you know, if you're a producer of a podcast, please, please, please put your contact information somewhere easy to find on your site, you know, preferably within the body of your podcast, within the post, and also, you know, make sure you have an email address or a contact form right on your website.
Yeah, it's amazing, Mike. When I do the podcast awards, and of course this year we didn't use that as a judging criteria, but in years past it has been, and the the amount of the number of podcasters that have no way for you to contact them is extraordinary. I'm always puzzled. You know, I hear podcasters complaining all the time about, I'm not getting any feedback. I'm not getting any input from my audience. Well, you got to make it easy for them to do that via Twitter, via email, via a contact page. And actually, I hate contact pages because most folks that have contact pages, they never respond to the contact page. So,
or they have an autoresponder.
Right. And if you have an autoresponder, I almost immediately know that you don't care about the email that I just sent you. So that's always a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah. And, you know, and as a side note, another thing, a lot of people build websites that are just beautiful and all that. But you know how many times I have to ask somebody when I ask them, you know, what's your website address? So I want to, you know, to go troubleshoot something for them. And then I get there and I can't find their podcast. And so
it's buried.
Yeah, it's buried. And I'm like, well, if you're podcasting, that should be a important part of your website, I would think. And so then I have to email them back and say, okay, how do I get to your podcast? And at that point, if I'm just the casual possible listener and I come to a website like that, I'm going to give it up, you know.
Yep, that's true.
Especially if you don't have any contact information where I can ask you where the podcast mm-hmm. is, if I'm that mm-hmm. interested.
So. And with that, of course, you need to set your iTunes email tag to an email that you actually read, not something, and I mean something you read every day, not an email address that goes into into some stack that you check once a month just because. So your email address in iTunes is very critical, because us, iTunes, Google, Stitcher, everyone who uses that email is the primary way to contact you when they have a problem with your show, when there might be a copyright issue, when there may, you just name it. That's the email address that they use. So that has to be an email, and you can change it. If you don't have it in an email address that you check, you can change it today, and I encourage you to do so.
Yeah, definitely. And for other things, like in Blueberry, if you're not a Blueberry customer and you haven't submitted your show to Blueberry, it might still be in the Blueberry directory. And if you want to claim that show, you have to have an email that we recognize iTunes thing. And then you can claim your listing at Blueberry and then control it or whatever, or ask us to delete it, whatever you need to do. But it has to be an email that you actually own and check.
So obviously if you send us a support ticket, we get your email in the support ticket. But oftentimes you use an email that's not associated with your Blueberry account. We want you to use that email, because the first thing we do is we copy your, well, basically we load in our system. Your email address takes you to your account on Blueberry. And if it isn't the same, then we have to send you an email and say, what's the email account you use on Blueberry? So that happens more often than we like to see it. But at the same time, too, if you're going to contact us on social, please give us a way to find you. And because oftentimes we'll just get a social. I'm having problems. And I load your social page or your Twitter page, and it takes you to your website. And again, we do everything we can to find you. But just providing us some sort of email address is always good when you're trying to work with the support team.
Yeah, certainly. The email address or the name of your show even helps, or your website address. I mean, we're pretty good at sleuthing that out. But, you know, the very best way is, you know, if you're going to use a different email to contact us, please include what email it is that you have your account under.
Right.
Because, like I said, I spend more time sending emails back and forth to people like, oh, I can't find your show. What's the name of your show? Or what's the email account you're using at mm-hmm. Blueberry?
And So I think today we've really kind of beat a dead horse here, but make sure you've got the ability, number one, for your audience to be able to contact you and something you actually respond to. Have a link to an email address on your website that you have available. Now, I've had my primary email address that I use for my show, geeknews@gmail.com, on my geeknewscentral.com page from the beginning. A lot of people worried about spam. Well, Gmail does a great job handling the spam, and very little gets through. And it's paid off a dividends having that there and easy to contact. Again, make sure your iTunes email tag is an email that you check. And if you contact us for support, you know, make sure you be as descriptive as possible. But, boy, that was a round robin of topics today, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I have one more that I didn't put in the notes that I wanted to just sort of add. A lot of times with people doing WordPress websites, they want to do blogging and podcasting. And for some reason, they want them separate. And I was trying to encourage people that, well, chances are if you're blogging and podcasting, which I know, Todd, you are a very big proponent of, why would you want your podcast to be in a separate place? Because assuming people are interested in your blog and your podcast should be the same topic as your blog readers would be interested in your podcast and vice versa.
Well, I've got a simple drill for everyone. And if you're using Google Analytics to look at your web analytics or any other type of web analytics software that maybe come with your host, you need to look at your bounce rate. You need to look at how long people stay on your site when they land on your front page. And that will give you an indication that if you don't have your podcast and a way to subscribe to your podcast or find your podcast very, very simply, and in fact, I mean, it should be with your blog post, look at your bounce rate. See how many people you lose and how many potential subscribers go away within the first 15 seconds of landing on your page. So again, you've got a very short amount of time when people land on your page to capture them, to make them go, oh, this blogger is also a podcaster. And yes, I'm a big proponent on blogging on days you're not podcasting. That builds Google juice, as I like to call it, and builds Google traffic that pays off by bringing people to your site that would not normally come, maybe looking for a podcast, maybe looking for a blog topic that then convert into listeners. And that's what we want as podcasters, more listeners.
Exactly, exactly. Like I said, there is ways to do that and, you know, get a hold of us if you really want to separate them. But I would encourage you to leave them all in the same blog role because, yep. Like I said, if you're podcasting and blogging about the same topic, then you're going to have listeners and readers, you know, cross-pollinate one another. So, anyway, I guess that's it for this week.
Your podcast at blueberry.com is a way to reach us, and we want to hear from you if you have comments or you like the commentary on the show. And again, if you're not a Blueberry customer, we want you to try Blueberry for free for 30 days. Embrace the power of post, upload, and publish, the three-step process you use to host with us, and saving yourself time and money. And make sure you power your podcast with the PowerPress podcast plugin.
Yeah, and be sure to listen to PowerPress podcast as well. It's our sister podcast on this same website at powerpresspodcast.com.
And don't forget, we're always available to help you. And we've got a great support team. And yeah, just check all the products and services out at blueberry.com. Everyone, thanks for being here. Mike, thanks for the work on the show today and being the producer and putting the show out. I definitely appreciate it. But everyone, enjoy your time, and we'll see you in a couple weeks on your podcast.
Have a great one.